listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Former general manager of the Cleveland Browns and senior personnel director for the Raiders and pro personnel director for the Eagles, and now he's got a show on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Michael Lombardi.
The Lombardi Line.
Yeah, the Lombardi Line is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you being here. How different is it now looking at it from evaluating talent standpoint to are you doing a lot of the gambling angle on your show?
I've never made a bet in my life, but what I've done my entire life is handicap teams. I mean, that's typically what you do when you work in the NFL. You break down the opponent. You break down other teams' strengths, weaknesses. How do you match up to this team? What's the matchups look like? You know, if team Y plays team X, what do you think that's going to be? And so for me, it's just really been an extension of what I was doing in the National Football League, which is handicapping NFL teams and handicapping players and what team could win and what team could lose. So for me, it's a lot of fun. And the way we are in America today, Massachusetts just passed sports betting. I mean, it's a popular element that we're going to continue to grow. And I was fortunate to get on the ground 4 or 5 years ago.
Michael Lombardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you make of the Deshaun Watson suspension, and will the NFL appeal?
You know, here's what I would say, and I know on Twitter there's a zillion experts on law, on collective bargaining agreements, and on being a judge, but I don't have all the information. I trust Sue Robinson's credentials, okay? I trust that she understands her role in this. She's been a judge before. She's heard evidence. She understands the law, and she understands the collective bargaining agreement. So I don't know how I could question what she decided, 6 games, 8 games, 12 games, whatever she decided. To me, she's better informed than I am. I've not viewed all the evidence. I don't know all the evidence. I haven't heard what was presented to the grand jury. I haven't heard what was presented to the NFL in their investigation. I read her summary. She obviously went through it. She was in detail with it. So I think ultimately there's always a perception. There's a public public outcry, you know, based on what information has come to them through the media outlets. And then there's also the physical evidence that she's reviewed. So I have complete confidence based on her credentials that she knows what she's doing.
Michael Lombardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As a former general manager of the Cleveland Browns, would you have made a trade with as much stuff that was going on around Deshaun Watson, given the talent, given the need for the quarterback position, but taking all of this other stuff on?
You know, I think that would have been a really hard thing for me to do, especially when I'm a big believer in culture and building your team around your best player must be also the best player on and off the field, right? So it would have been challenging for me. I would have never guaranteed $240 million. And look, let's face it, when Watson was meeting with the teams, it wasn't about recruiting and I want to play for your team. It wasn't about, you know, I like your uniforms. It was about who's going to pay me and who's going to guarantee my contract. And, you know, the Browns, who are out of this derby, eventually got back in it. And they got back in it because they were the first team in the history of the NFL to do a fully guaranteed contract, unheard of, and broke really a lot of the rules that have been in place in terms of contracts, whether they're skill or injury guaranteed.
Mike Lombardi with us right now. I want to get back to, Michael, some of what's going on with the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. We know that there's still going to be some, you know, the NFL could appeal this. The Cleveland Browns right now need to weather the storm for a minimum of 6 games with Jacoby Brissett, who wasn't very good last year. But, you know, when you look at the construct of the roster, Mike, and how they play football, they got defense. They got a running game. I don't see any reason that Cleveland can't get it out of their 4-2 worst case scenario, especially with 4 of those games being at home.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Look, the National Football League is really about avoiding losing. It's not winning, right? And that sounds really easy and simplistic, But it's really, that's the game. Who creates, who makes mistakes during the game, the turnovers, poor game management, all those things. If Cleveland, you know, who has one of the best running games in the league, last year they led the National Football League in yards per attempt. You know, they were fourth in yards gained. And that's with Nick Chubb missing two games. That's with Kareem Hunt missing eight games. And so they were very productive on the ground. Their offensive line is one of the best lines in football. The Ernest Johnson comes in, he carries the ball 100 times. He averages 5.3 yards a carry. They had three running backs that averaged 4.9 or above a carry. That's pretty impressive. So they can run the ball. If you can run the ball, you can stop the run, and don't make mistakes and don't turn it over, and your defense is fairly good, you got a chance. Now, last year, where they were terrible, and they have to improve, they're one of the worst teams in the red zone in all of football last year. When you got the ball in the red zone against Cleveland Browns, you might as well just put 7 points on the board. You were going to score. And so they've got to improve in that area. And with their talent on defense, they should be a better red zone team. They should be able to get the ball out quicker. They should be able to stop teams on the four-point plays. Four-point plays meaning if we stop them on this third down, they're going to kick a field goal. They're not going to score a touchdown. So I think they have a chance to do it. But the one thing I will say, there's a perception in the National Football League, and I wrote about this for VSiN.com, that, you know, you don't have to start fast to win. And if you go back all the way through to 2018, the Patriots were the last team that were a 500 team in September that won a Super Bowl. Most teams that play well in September play well later in the year. And I think that's going to be the challenge for the Browns. They can't start slow. They've got to start fast.
Do you see the Browns as a playoff team this year? And if so, Michael, do we know if Deshaun can play in the cold, and especially the cold in Cleveland?
Well, I know Amari Cooper doesn't like the cold. I know that for a fact. He'll take himself out of any game that dips below 36 degrees. So, you know, I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know how the Brownies didn't know that Amari hates cold weather. Look, I think that this offense is tailor-made for Deshaun. I think we have gone way too far with RPOs in football. We have gone way too far with being a shotgun. I think when the quarterback is under center more, there's only one play in football, just one, where the quarterback can block somebody, and that is on bootlegs and nakeds. Because somebody's got to run out there with him. Somebody has to go follow him because he's liable to run with the ball. And if you don't follow him, he can gain yards. So he takes away a man from the box. He takes a defender away, whether it's the end, whether it's the hang linebacker, whatever it is. So this offense is ideally suited for Watson. He's under center. He can run outside zone, run play action, throw the ball down the field, you know, make big plays. I think it's suited perfectly for him, and I think he'll excel in it, whether the temperature is 40 degrees or whether it's 20 below.
Michael Lombardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I want to get to the Texans. You've seen, you know, Mike, you pay attention to personnel moves, and I am curious from your time on the inside. It was a mess here. Bill O'Brien, tyrant, kind of some backstabbing with Brian Gang, got him out of here after a year being general manager. Hated to see that happen to a good football guy like Brian Gain, who didn't really get a chance. You know about Jack Easterby. Now we had David Culley, who was a one-year sacrificial lamb. We had Nick Caserio in here with no first or second round picks. Now it's Lovie Smith, Nick Caserio. They just drafted a guard and a cornerback in the first round. Can you speak from the outside looking in about the change in just the viability of the Texans front office and coaching and roster now versus maybe what it was a year or two ago?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately they have to develop some continuity. And, you know, having been with Nick, having been with Jack in New England together, you know, the vision that they share is important. You know, the Lovie Smith hiring to me is a little bit of outside of that New England program because Lovie comes from a different program. Not saying it can't work, but I think they all have to be on the same page. When they drafted Stingley in the first round, my first question was, how does this fit for a team that's going to play Tampa 2? You know, it's almost overkill. When you get a corner who's going to be a role corner, when you're drafting them as high as you do, you want to play man-to-man. You want to be able to get off the field. Now the word is they're going to play. Lovie's going to kind of alter what they do, play a little bit, mix more man-to-man, take away the receiver. If that's the case, you know, they should improve from where they were last year. I say this all the time on my program. If Davis Mills were picked where Justin Fields was picked, if Davis Mills was picked where Mac Jones was picked, if he was picked where Zach Wilson or any of these guys, Trey Lance, we'd all be talking about how the Texans may have found their quarterback of the future. But because he was picked in the third round, everybody questions whether he's good enough. Look, this kid comes from great pedigree. Injuries have set him back. And I think that, you know, where they got him in the third round is he's proven last year that besides Mac Jones, he was the best rookie quarterback. Now, can he build on that? I think it's really important. He got sacked way too much. I think if you're Nick and Jack Easterby, you've got to fix this offensive line. I mean, you've got to fix this. You put money in Tunsil. You drafted Howard. You just drafted a guard in the first round. You've got to protect your quarterback. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to build your offensive and defensive lines to the level of what you're going to be able to produce. But with Mills at quarterback, I think it gives him a chance. He was impressive last year. But the guy had almost 400 attempts throwing the ball. You know, I mean, Trey Lance had 71. People think Trey Lance is going to solve all the problems.
Well, he's not solving all the problems right off the bat, but I will say it got a little bit, the news got better as they signed Deebo Samuel. Are you shocked at how the league has gone from a running back heavy league where running backs used to get paid that kind of went away after Chris Jones and not Chris Jones, but Chris with the Tennessee Titans. Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson. Those are the last two big running back deals. Now it's completely switched to where running back value is all that it's about. Second contracts for running backs usually don't end well. And now wide receivers, the contracts, is that sustainable, Mike? The wide receiver contract plus the quarterback contract being top dollar quarterback. Can your roster sustain that type of money at quarterback and wide receiver, you know, on one team?
You know, look, I mean, Zeke got a huge contract too. Now, I think this is Christian McCaffrey got a contract huge. Kamara did as well. But I think there's a definition here we've got to discuss first. Is if you're a weapon on offense, a weapon meaning you're Kamara, you average 9.6 yards per pass attempt. Or if you're, you know, Austin Eckler and average 9.3, you can make plays in the passing game. You're catching 50 balls, 70 balls at almost a 10-yard average. You're not just a running back, you're a weapon. You can pay that. Where when you get in trouble is when you pay Zeke, who doesn't do anything in the run in the passing game, he averages 6 yards a catch. You can't pay that. You can't pay that. You've got to be a weapon. You can't be a running back. To me, what I have, I was born and raised with Bill Walsh. And Bill Walsh always would say to me, the wide receiver is the last position you fix on the team when everything else is fine. So what I find hard to understand is when you draft the Samuels and you draft the Browns in these later rounds and you get good players in the second and third round, and Ron Wolf proved this in Green Bay, why are we always so in a rush to pay for the receivers that don't tilt the field? That really are not a number one. You and I could go through the National Football League and really on one hand label guys who are number one receivers. Right. That number one receivers meaning they can beat double coverage. Number one receivers meaning when the coverage rolls to them, they still convert third down. It's hard to define one receivers. But there's a lot of guys getting paid as two receivers that are really paid like one. And I think that's going to catch up to people. I think you've got to do a good job of drafting them. I think you got to do a great job of developing them, much like Pittsburgh has always done.
Michael Lombardi here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The difference between Davis Mills and Trey Lance is what he's got around him. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo led them to the NFC Championship game and was a drop away from getting back to the Super Bowl. Michael, and Deebo Samuel, the weapon, Deebo said he doesn't want to play running back anymore. He doesn't want to have that role anymore. But now that he's got the contract, are the 49ers amenable to him just being wide receiver and not using him the way they did last year?
I think if you study Deebo really closely, you realize that he's an inside receiver. If Deebo has to line up an X on the outside, he's not going to win very many routes out there. He's not a great route runner. But where Deebo is incredible is when the ball is in his hands. And Kyle's challenge is how I get the ball in his hands. And so we decided that I just can't throw it to him all the time. Let him run. I think they're going to have some element of running in their game. I think he carried the ball enough last year that he makes a difference. He is so good yards after the catch. And that's going to help Lance. He is so good when he catches some inside slant or some inside route that he can then break a tackle and run with it. So however they do it. Look, Lenny Moore did it for years at the Baltimore Colts. He's in the Hall of Fame. And Deebo, what I would do if I were Kyle is I'd show Lenny Moore tape to this kid and say, look, this guy's in the Hall of Fame. You know, you could be exactly this player. And he was able to play running back and wide receiver in an era where they weren't catching a lot of balls.
That's Michael Lombardi right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, continued success with your show, Michael, the Lombardi. What's it?
Lombardi Line. Mike, Lombardi Line. Are you truly on the air 7 days a week?
Well, I take off Tuesday and Wednesday in the off season, and during the season I just take off Tuesday. So I'm on 6 days a week starting in September. I do it from Monday through Friday. We're on from 12 to 2. And then on weekends, we're on from 10 to 12. So we're right before the game. So, look, it's you know, when you get to talk about the NFL and football, I mean, life don't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't get much better than that. Yeah, just 2 hours? We need to do that. We're 3 hours. We're grinding every
Grinding,
yeah, Mike. I mean, you guys are outworking me. You're kicking my butt. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Please tell my wife that, will you? Because she doesn't believe not a minute.
Yeah, no, mine doesn't either. Mine thinks I haven't worked a day in my life. She keeps wondering when I'm going to fix something.
You work with Bill Belichick. You've worked a day in your life.
Look, I work with Al Davis, and Al Davis is the king of all of them. And if he saw golf clubs in your car, you were getting fired. If he smoked a pipe or had golf clubs in your car with Al Davis, you were not going to be on the roster very long.
Funny. Michael Lombardi right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
All right, 9:17. Time for a quick one. 713-78. Good stories. Time to talk about HR and P. Like, listen, you got to fire somebody like Al Davis? You think Al Davis worried about HR? No, but you have to. Al Davis didn't. You do. And if you've got a business and your HR is not, if you don't have HR, if you don't have a human resources, if you don't go about it the right way, when you fire people, it could cost you. It will cost you. So the HR experts are over there at HR&P, and they take care of that business. We've called them. We've had to call them a few times about stuff that was going on. No, it wasn't Granado. It was someone else that we had to call them about. That's right. Should they have been called about me? Yes, absolutely. But have they been? No. So here's the deal, is if you need HR help, you got it. If you need payroll help, you got it. If you've got more than 15 or 20 employees and you're still doing your payroll yourself, you need HR&P. Let them take care of it for you, because you are not selling your widgets if you're worried about payroll and you're paying more than you have to, okay? Because when you get to 15, 20, 70, 80, 100 employees, do it economically. It's with the payroll company. HR&P. Do it with the best. We love them. You'll love them too. HRP.net, 281-880-6525.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.